Greetings in our Lord's precious name this morning. Glad for the privilege of being here and enjoying the Sunday school discussions and don't get done, do we? Just keep on going. Faith is that way. You just you think of the aspects of faith and, you know, we can explain it, then we don't need much faith, do we? But when we get to the end of ourselves and, Lord, I believe it, but I don't know just how it all was. But this morning, our message is another one of those, I suppose, a continuation of some of that study. I didn't realize that so much when I prepared, but turn with me to Luke 17, verse 32. Three words. Luke 17, verse 32. Just a short verse. Remember Lot's wife. I don't even know her name, do you? I don't think the Bible, maybe it does, I'm not sure. I didn't run across that anyhow. What her name was, Mrs. Lot, I call her. And it's sandwiched right in there between some more of Jesus' teachings. I preached about that numbers of times. It's been many years ago when I did. Think of Lot's wife. I have a mental scene of Egemeyer's Bible story book, a little boy at home. You probably had that too. And they were heading towards out of Sodom, just about at Zoar, and she turned into a big salt block. Stood there just like a woman. Little boy, look at that. I saw 50-pound salt blocks, but never 100 and some pound log, you know, like this woman had probably been. Pillar of salt. We're going to go back to Genesis 18 and 19 after a while. I'm not going to read it all, but, you know, as we look here, starting in verse 22 through 37, in this chapter, Jesus is again teaching, and he had something to say. First of all, he was talking about offending the little ones in verses 1 and 2 in this chapter. Don't offend the little ones. Don't. An offense can be in different ways. Woe to him to whom they come. It's better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of the little ones. So don't offend the little ones. However way that can happen, it does happen. Sometimes parents said, just keep quiet. You don't know what you're talking about. Really? They might. Probably do. And it's time to tell them sometimes to keep quiet, I know. But on the other hand, I believe that Jesus had a very important teaching here. Then you go on in the next few verses where he teaches about forgiveness, trespassing. Take heed to yourselves. If a brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. What do you do if he doesn't repent? I guess forgive him too, don't we? On a personal level, we need to do that, to be clear. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, repent, forgive him. About the sixth time, I said, you know what? This is number six. And don't expect to come back again and ask to be forgiven. Well, Jesus said, do it anyhow. No wonder the apostles said, increase our faith. Then he goes on with some more teaching about a little mustard seed and the importance of faith. Just that little seed grows into a big tree. So faith is. Starts out small and can, if it's properly fed, properly nourished, it can grow big. And it's just surprising what faith can be developed into. Then he goes on and later on in verses 11 through 19 about the 10 lepers. The thing you just don't do is get close to a leper. There's no cure for this. And so they didn't, but Jesus oftentimes did. In fact, the one time he just reached out and touched the spot. Exactly the opposite of what the law said he should do. You don't do those things. Jesus did. He healed him. Well, and that's just, these are just a little bit some of the things that preceded verse 32. And then in verse 20 to 25, judgment at the end times and suffering the righteous people. And, you know, if we can, some people think they have the end times figured out. I don't. But I have a few things figured out that I want to be ready when it happens. And you better be too. And it's, if it's a little different than what you figured it might be, why, it's all right. Well, then in verses 26 to 29, it talks about the judgments in the past. And it was, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They lived normally, they ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage. Until they went, Noah went into the ark. Things changed. I suppose then that goofy preacher got to be pretty important. You know, 120 years he was telling, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. They kept on having weddings, they kept on doing this, and kept on doing everything they did until all of a sudden it started lightning and thundering, and which it had never done before, and the fountains of the deep opened up and there was water all over. I said, yeah, Noah, you're right after all. A little bit like Christians, isn't it? Judgment's coming. Hasn't happened yet. You believe it? Yeah. Well, how can we know you believe it? Well, I'm getting ready for it. And I believe this is what Jesus would have us to learn from this short verse. Remember Lot's wife. And then let's start reading at verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. For as a lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part of heaven, under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. Another prophetic word Jesus had that they didn't understand. How is this going to be? Where did I stop reading there? Verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they builded. The same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in his house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return. Remember Lot's wife. Now, what does that have to do with what Jesus just said? Well, we'll talk about it after a bit. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. I'm not going to explain that. I'm not going to tell you how it's going to be. I've heard people say, remember one time a very important evangelist when I was growing up, that he couldn't find his wife during the night, and he thought, the Lord came back and he missed it. And here she was out back praying. What a relief. Well, it talks about this, and so I'm not sure how it's going to happen. But you know one thing you better know and be sure of, that it's going to happen, and if you're not ready, you'll miss it. And I believe this morning that's what Jesus would like to have us to learn about, remember Lot's wife. And I have a number of things, I think, that I'd like to just reflect on as we think about that. One thing we need to know is be ready, and those who are ready, not to turn back. You know, as I think of life, and I think of all the people that I learned to know in the last 80 years, and what happened to them all? Where are they? Well, some are faithful, quite confident. Some I'm not 100% sure, and some I'm quite sure they're not. Well, it's going to be as suddenly. They won't have a chance to get ready. But I'm blessed by the privilege to share. As I think of remembering Lot's wife and the privilege we have, one of the things that I believe he wants to teach us is the importance of prayer. I'm sure Jesus would tell us, like he did in the 32nd verse, remember Lot's wife. When we think of the opportunities we have, I think of one of the opportunities, and I don't know how many of you have signed up with CAMS, Billboard Evangelism, as the prayer partner. If you did, God bless you, do it. And if you haven't, do it. Get online and get the prayer request. The other day, as a man got a call, and it was an educated somebody, an educated teacher, that was trying to find God, and he couldn't find him. He just said, I just can't find him. Just can't get through. What a challenge that would be if I was the one answering the phone on the other side. And I believe we need to pray for them too, that they would give them the proper answers. But we can pray. We can be prayer partners. As I think of that, I think of the opportunities we have in this life, and the privilege we have, and we need to go back to Genesis 18 and 19. We're not going to read all those, but we'll have our fingers open to that, those places to refer to it when we want to. But I think this morning, as I think of going back, it's getting close into our Sunday school lesson, and it's maybe just a continuation of, or maybe ahead of next week's. I'm not sure where that's at, but I'm of the persuasion that Jesus, did he see the salt figure of Lot's wife? I don't know. It could have been possible. You know, a salt deteriorates slowly. You know, we'd get a salt block and put it out in the pasture for the cattle, and by the in the springtime and by fall came, why it had diminished quite a bit, because partly because the cattle licked at it, and others because of the rain and the elements. But all these years in between Lot's wife and Jesus coming, did he actually see with his physical eyes that? I'm not sure. Makes a little difference. He did believe in the account. When I think of this, I think of a lot of things. What are we to remember? What are you to remember about it? I believe that there's a number of things that come to my mind that I want to just highlight as I think of Lot's wife. I think of Abraham, a righteous man with an open line of communication with God. Abraham could talk with God. Abraham did talk with God. He had that ability, and he was in right standing with God. And I think of these in Genesis 18, when Abraham said, but God, are you going to destroy the righteous with the unrighteous? Good question. No. God said, I won't do it. If there's 50, I'll save it. Why did Abraham say 50? Do you think possibly Lot's family amounted to 50 people? Now, we know there wasn't that many that left Sodom. There's only four. And then his wife died en route. But he had children. How many grandchildren, great-grandchildren? I don't know. I believe Abraham started high enough. He said, God, if there's 50 there, are you going to do it? No, I'll save it. If there's 45, no, I'll save it. 40, no, I'll save it. 30, no, I'll save it. 20, I'll save it. 10, I'll save it. I mean, he got down to the bare facts. God, what are you going to do with these righteous people? And I believe Abraham was very concerned about it. And so I don't know if the numbers indicate how many were in the family of Lot, but I don't think it hurts us to imagine that at least. There are so many unanswered questions in this short verse, remember Lot's wife, that we could go for a long, long time. You know, everybody would just say, what's on your mind as you think about that? What do you want to remember about Lot's wife? Well, I have about 10 or 11 things I'd like to just briefly mention as we go through this message. Number one, things to remember or learn from this verse. And we're going to refer to some of them in Genesis. Number one is God's revealed plan for the human family gives confidence in prayer. Turn with me to Genesis 18, 17 to 20. God's revealed plan, verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, and he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. You know, the very fact that God, he says, should I tell Abraham? Should I really let him in on the secret? Should I get him involved? Abraham had a close connection with God. Abraham had a relationship with God that all of us need. I believe it's the revealed plan for the human family that gives us confidence in prayer. This morning, you and I not only have Genesis, but we have the whole New Testament. We know judgment is coming. We know that the end is coming. When? I don't know. How? A lot of difference of opinions. And we argue and fuss about it sometimes. We shouldn't. It's going to be this way. It's going to be that way. You know what? Quite likely all of us are going to be a little surprised. But you know, remember Lot's wife. We know the judgment is coming. You know where your children are at. You know where your posterity is at. You know where your wife is at, or where your husband is at in relation to God. What are you doing about it? Are you like faithful Abraham? Lord, are you going to destroy him or her also? Yeah, if they don't repent. You know, it gives us confidence in prayer. You know, as long as there's life, there's hope. And yes, you have children that are not doing what they ought to be doing. You have children that are outside of the fold. You know it's not right. But are they on your daily prayer list? My question. Does it bother you enough to pray? Abraham took it serious. God has said, are you going to do this? No. I won't, if they repent. I believe that's number one. Number two, we have the right of importunity, or the right to beg earnestly. He said, well, I prayed for how many years and nothing has happened? So what? We don't know God's timetable as well as we wish we could. Six times Abraham pled for the righteous in Sodom, and God responded properly each time. He said, no, I won't do it if you find them. Do you know what happened? There was only four that left Sodom. There was less than 10, so God was faithful. But Abraham begged. He had a hold on God. He had a hold on through prayer. He could intercede. And it was not because, yes, the Bible says it was righteous Lot, and some things I can't explain, and don't try to, but I believe it. Go to 2 Peter, I think it is, talks about righteous Lot, his vexed, his righteous soul. But I believe this morning that as we think of remember Lot's wife, and if you have friends and relatives, husbands or wives that are not in the fold, just beg God. Just get earnest about it. Get serious about it. And just, Lord, I don't know how, but somehow, please, just don't let it happen. Let him die, her die, he die, without having a chance to repent. You know, God is able to set up roadblocks and stop things, and he does at times. But he's also, there is a time when we get past that, the possibility, and we just leave it in his hands. We also need to plead with God for those lost souls. When God responded favorably, you know it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so we know that. And so that gives us a confidence that it's okay to ask God and just really get down earnest about it and beg for it. Now that still becomes a personal choice that people would repent. The son or the daughter, whoever the family or friends. This morning we have a real blessing to remember Lot's wife. See, it's just not more than just those three words. You go back into what really happened, and we get the picture a little better. Number three, closely related to the others, but the duty and privilege of intercessory prayer. You know, if we'd asked for a raise of hands this morning, probably a lot of hands would go up because we're here this morning because mom and dad. Because somebody prayed for us. Somebody cared. Somebody were in the line of duty with God and they interceded. Maybe they're going on already. But you remember the prayers. I call them roadblocks in our paths. I had a stubborn streak that I wanted to do what I wanted to do, how I wanted to do it with my life. But there's one thing I couldn't get around, is Dad on his knees and praying for the family. You can't get around that so easy. But I had to make the choice personally. He couldn't do it for me or Mom. So mother's prayers and father's prayers have followed us, don't they? And we're glad for that. Many of us can thank God for that, even though they weren't perfect people, but they believed in a perfect God. Number four, the justice of God. The whole 19th chapter of Genesis has a lot to say about that. We're just going to pick out a few verses as we go through that. God is just. If there's people that do not repent, it's not because that God isn't just, but it's because of their stubborn will. They don't want to give up. They don't want to accept what God has for them. You know, in verse 13, in chapter 19 of Genesis, we have the angels warn Lot of the coming judgment. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxen great, because the face of the Lord and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. These two messengers that came there looked pretty much like any other human traveler, I suppose, because that's what they identified him with. But they had a heavenly message. And I believe this morning that it's still the same way today. God's people are human. They have a heavenly message. There's judgment coming. It kind of thinks about Sodom, reminds me of 2016 in America, don't you think? In the world today. You know, when you think of the awful wickedness that was there, it just hardly fit to even elaborate on it in public. But they were lesbians and just awful sinners before God. America today. And not only America today, but American churches today, where they're trying to make it so that they can, those people can get into the church and keep their lifestyle because they were born that way. Don't buy it. Don't believe it. Talk up against it. Witness against it. Yes, they were born sinners, but people choose to stay in sin. You know, I think of the justice of God, Lot's final choice to leave Sodom. In verses 12 through 14, and the man said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. You know, it was not Lot and his wife and two daughters, but he has sons and daughters and son-in-laws. So I take that possibly, at least, he might have had 4, 5, 6 daughters and sons. We don't know. But the angels asked, don't you have more than just this? And Lot went out. And the 13th verse tells him about the destruction coming. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. It gives me a question about Lot's past life a little bit. How did he get to this place where when he had judgment, a message of judgment coming, that he said, Dad, you talked about this before and it never happened yet. It just, they mocked. They didn't know that the next day judgment would fall. And so, but the justice of God was, he gave him one more warning. One of these days will be the last day the sun will come up in the morning. One of these days will be the last time it goes down in the evening. One of these days the clouds will roll back and the Lord himself will come. And regardless of what our frame of reference and thought is about the end time and eschatology, it'll all be as it is. I believe this morning we need to be ready, even as God tells us we need to be. Again, another aspect of the justice of God, that he personally took Lot by the hand and said, come on, Lot, we gotta go. He personally led him out. Go to verse 15, I think it is. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, implying that there were more. I believe there were more than two daughters. There were more in the family, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, wonder where they're at. Why aren't they coming? Don't they believe what I said? While they lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. And I like you ought to underscore the next few words. The Lord being merciful unto him. The mercy of God. And they brought them forth and set them out of the city. They got them by the hand and said, Lot, we've got to go. And out they go. Outside of the city, they left. They had to go. You talk about God's justice. He doesn't do that all the time. He doesn't physically take us out. But we've been warned. And I think of the justice of God as another aspect, is that God waited for judgment to fall until that all they were out of the city. In verse 23 and 24, and the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. I mean, it was destruction like you had not witnessed before. Why? Fire, brimstone, judgment, because of sin. Remember Lot's wife. What did Jesus really mean? I'm not sure what all he meant, but I'm sure it was that, what I'm saying, and probably more. Number five, when I think of remembering Lot's wife, being married to a righteous man was not enough. No, it won't do. We must have a personal relationship with God. We have our council meetings, you know, twice a year, and said, we seek a personal relationship. How is it going with you and the Lord? By faith, by the grace of God, I can say at peace. Turn with me to 2 Peter 2. I believe, how do you know he was righteous? Well, I just believe the Bible. 2 Peter 2 and a few verses. 6 and 7. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should after follow, that should after live ungodly. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. What, Lot, why did you move to Sodom? Why do people do what they do today? Why do they go outside of the place of safety? I think I can make it here. I'm sure Lot had some good reasoning, but it wasn't good enough. You know, he was, so I would consider him a righteous man. That's what the Bible says. But being related, married to him, didn't suffice. No. Being related to a righteous person isn't enough. Christian parents can't make your decision. They cannot save you, even though they would love to. Even though mom and dad beg you. Even though they would just do most anything to, if you could just choose the right way. Remember Lot's wife. You know, probably there's some children, grandchildren behind in the city. I'm not sure, but I think possibly because they said, those that are here, which are here, just sandwiched in there, a little phrase. The Bible is interesting. God is faithful. He said, these are here. Take them and go. Don't wait on the rest to come. We can only imagine. When we think of the fire and brimstone and the confusion that followed when that all lit. I don't know if there was had sirens in those days. If they did, they didn't need him because it was all going in flames. But you can imagine that all of a sudden, early morning, business is going as usual. The hucksters are out there selling things, and all of a sudden the whole city was on fire. The roar, the commotion, the cry, the noise. Remember Lot's wife. I believe that caught her attention. Are they coming? And she turned around. And snap of a finger was salt. The blood congealed in her veins. She was just a pillar. You know, it doesn't hurt for us to imagine things, but we have to make sure they're proper. But I've never seen a whole city on fire. There's a lot of destruction in this world. But there's a day coming. There's a day coming when the whole world is going to be on fire. And all that we know is going to be burned up. Everything. Number six, knowing, only knowing is not enough. See, Lot's wife knew. She had, God is merciful. She knew. She heard, probably heard the conversations between the men and Lot. And she knew that all the family was there. But the two daughters were there. She said, now you go and don't turn around. Don't look back. But God, all this noise back here, and our family's there. Can't I just look, see if they might be coming? No. Then do that. God is just. I don't know. I thought I could just quickly find exactly how far it is from Sodom and Gomorrah to Zoar, so I called Brother Keith this morning. He said, can you find out? What did you say? 5 miles? 15 miles from Zoar to Sodom. So that's like from here to Chippewa, Pennsylvania, Alliance. So all of a sudden, Washingtonville, Latonia, and everything around it is on fire. And you're just getting into Alliance. Far enough away, certainly. Lot's wife said, I want to turn. I just wonder if they're coming. Disobedience never works. Disobedience to God just doesn't work. She was safely out of Sodom. And she was well on the way to being taken care of when she turned and looked back. My Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is what? Sin. Sin. She knew. Mrs. Lot knew. Jesus said in his teaching about all these different things that we mentioned at the start and the coming judgment, just remember Lot's wife, don't turn around. Don't turn around. Don't go back into what you were delivered from. Yes, it's sin. Number seven, God's commands are to be obeyed. Verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. I don't know at what point that they lost step. It seemed like Lot and the two daughters were going, but Mrs. Lot was just drifting back, drifting back, drifting back. I don't know what was going through her mind. We don't know that. We can imagine. But the fact of it is, she took the privilege to turn around, and instantly the judgment of God fell on her, and she died. I don't know how many years she stood there in the form of a woman in salt. People walked by and said, that's Lot's wife. That's Lot's wife. You know, I'm sure they were as inquisitive as you and I are. And if they'd have had the iPads and the crazy phones and whatever you call them now, they'd have probably jammed the lines up and said, did you hear? What happened to Mrs. Lot? Over there on the plains of Zoar is this big statue of salt. She died. Didn't follow God's commands. So knowing is not enough. We know, but I don't want to do it. We know that it's sin. We know cheating is sin. We know that all the things that we're tempted to do is sin. But I think I get by. Just a quick glance, and then I'll get back on track. Don't do it. They are to be obeyed. Following God at a distance is always dangerous. Peter got in trouble that way. Peter was just following a little bit, you know. When Jesus had told him, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. No, sir, I will not. I am going to die with you. But Peter, you're going to deny me. But when the heat came on, when the pressure was on, he had to identify himself with the followers of Jesus. He drifted back a little more until he was in a different crowd. You see, and it was dangerous to do that. People do that today. They're not on fire for the Lord. They're not as close to God as God wants them to be. They know they should read their Bible. They know they should have their personal devotions. They know they shouldn't be texting the opposite gender. They know all these things, but I'll get by. Remember Lot's wife. She tried it. It didn't work. And if God isn't merciful to you, it won't work for you either. If we follow on behind, we'll be in different company. And remember, Jesus was teaching about impending judgment coming, the end times. And he said, two will be grinding, and one will be taking the other left. One will be in the bed, normal living, normal life. All of a sudden, they're gone. Number eight, I didn't give eight, did I? We are responsible for ourselves regardless what others do. I know that it's difficult to be what we should be, but thank you, Darren, for reading from Job this morning. You know, the test of Job, I think, was about as great as he ever had is when his wife said, Job, you might as well give up. It's not worth it. And he said, you talk like a foolish woman. You know, sometimes we get advice that it's not worth it. But what's not worth it? It sure is. You know, we are responsible for ourselves. Was Lot tempted to look back? I believe he was, being a common man. Especially when his wife wasn't right beside him. His two daughters were there. And he heard all the noise behind him. Well, 15 miles, yeah, I believe that sounded 15 miles away. They could hear the roar of the fire and whatever was ensued with that. The cries of the people, the wickedness was coming to judgment. He probably said, I wonder where my wife's at. I would have, wouldn't you? Well, where's my husband at? I thought he was coming. I thought she was on the way with us. But God said, don't turn back, so I guess I won't. I'm just going to keep on going. Remember Lot's wife. It's very serious. Don't look back. Number nine, disobedience is always costly. Verse 26 said she turned into a pillar of salt. And Luke 17:24, I think there's a verse that we should read. For as a lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth into the other part of under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. Yes, quick. Instant, final. Her disobedience stood as a monument, a pillar of salt. You and I might not turn into a pillar of salt, but we may not have a chance to repent. We don't know where that line is. We don't know where we are on the journey with God. And so we are nearing home, the end of life. Oh, but I'm young. No guarantee whatsoever. Like the young man that was killed in the flats there in the late 60s. And he had on his dash, enjoy life. It's later than you think. He was a crazy driver, and his car went out of control till the feed truck hit him and dismembered that whole car. The hood was one place, the trunk another place, the door somewhere else, and the engine somewhere else. And he was still out further, dead on the road. And on the dash of his car was, enjoy life. It's later than you think. I believe it was later than he thought. 18 or 20 years old, lived out here in this end of Salem, worked in town. Later than you think. I don't know if you ever heard the story of Lot's wife. But disobedience is costly because judgment is instant, it's final. And knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I think we do a poor job of persuading people sometimes. You know, we think, can't we make it more attractive? And why don't they responding? I have to think of the sign of the Zion Church, and behind the pulpit, they have a sign there. It reads something like this, if it came back to me correctly. If every living soul, every living person knew what every departed soul is experiencing, everybody would be saved. Would you believe that? I think so. I know so. If every person could just know what's happening to those that have gone over the brink of death, they'd all be saved. But it takes faith. And people, I'll take the chance. I'm reminded of, where's Conrad? The other day, a number of us went up to the prison to see Timo Miller. And one of the brethren was talking to him, and we all just, you know, not much satisfaction. He's a glass between us, and he's talking the phone, he's on the other side. Anyways, he said that he had his trial the other day in Buffalo, and his prosecuting attorney asked him, do you have one more question before the trial ended? He said, yes. When are you going to get right with God? You know what his answer was? I'm ready to take the consequences. He said, I just broke down and cried. I said, no, you're not. I love you. You're not ready for the consequences of your life. You see, today is the day. Maybe too late. Number 10, judgment will be final and forever. We have a few scriptures in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 5, I should read in closing. You know, when we think of, yeah, but, no, it never happened yet. Never happened to Sodom and Gomorrah before either. And the sad part of it is that those people are still in anguish and pain burning. It doesn't stop at death, just the beginning. It's hard to imagine. I don't know how many years ago that was, but it's several thousand years. It's just like it just started. 1 Thessalonians 5, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. They shall not escape. No exits. No way of getting around. It's there. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. And to you which are troubled, who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. I don't want to be there like that. When the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Don't you want to be the arms of God? Sure you do. 2 Peter 2. Verse 5. And spare not the old world, but save Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness. Bring in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overflow, making them an ensamples unto those that should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. As it was, so it shall be. As it was in the days of Noah. I believe we're there. We've heard that judgment call as long as I can remember, but it's 80 years closer than it was when we first heard it. But it's coming. You know, number 11, looking back impairs people's vision. It hinders. You just don't see right. You keep on walking, you stumble, and you overstuff, and you fall. Looking back is not the way. We are commanded to look ahead and keep our eyes on the goal, Christ Jesus. The end is near. After death, then what? It's not if, but what? It's already. God has appointed the day. God knows when that is. I don't know. But this morning, as I think of Jesus teaching and all the judgments, and he said, just remember Lot's wife. She was on the way. She was married properly. She had a good husband. He took her into bad company in Sodom. But her mistake was, but she didn't keep on. She just turned back. And that's what most people do today. Not that they don't know. It's not that they don't, well, some of them actually say they don't believe it, but most people believe, yeah, but I'm going to change. I'm going to do different. It's a good thought, but most people just don't get it done. When the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, cleft for me. Don't let it be like two men. I have it written down here, Gibeon. I'm not sure. Think he was an infidel back in 1794. He said, all is lost. Finally, irrevocable lost. Whatever he had accomplished was gone. And another one in 1679 says, I'm about to take a leap into the dark. That's not the Christian. That's not the Christian. The Christian has a bright hope, a future that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. God help us this morning. I don't know where you're at in your Christian life, in your journey. And I don't know what today holds nor tomorrow. But I am confident in the one who holds that time. Are you ready?